like me to stop. I'm going to talk about the paper I wrote with Lenny Sofkin. In that paper, we made some conjectures on the scrambling of information, or in other words, summarization or granularization. So, I'd like to first state the conjecture and then later explain what I mean by it. So first, we claim that the fastest scramble of information in nature takes time of order log n, where n is the number of degrees of freedom of the system, to scramble information over the whole system. We assume that that system is described by a Hamiltonian, which whose interaction involves only a finite cluster of degrees of freedom. We also conjecture black holes saturated with this bar. And matrix quantum mechanics that are dual to extremes of the black holes, such as the bar. Our conjectures are based on the principle of black hole complementarity and the work by the important work by Hagen and Persky on the information retrieval from the Hawking radiation. And the behavior of black holes in this case. So our work relies heavily on Hagen and Persky's work. So my talk has some overlap with Patrick's talk that you had yesterday. So maybe the first half of my talk is basically what he already told. But I want to go through everything so that you can make comments if you don't agree with our assumptions. Okay, so you have heard about this many times. Black hole information puzzle is the following. So if matter goes through gravitational collapse and black holes created, then the classical causal structure is something like this. There's an event horizon, so an observer who stays outside cannot see past this horizon. So, and if we believe in local field theory, the fields at spatially separated points. So, for example, if we consider slides like this, we will say that the degrees of freedom inside the black hole is independent of the degrees of freedom outside the black hole. Hilbert space will be tensor product like this. So an observer who stays outside can only access these degrees of freedom outside. So this is what local fields tell us. Semi-classical analysis by Hawking suggests that black hole emits Hawking radiation, which are random thermal radiations. And black holes in asymptotic bright spots has negative spots of heat. So it eventually evaporates away. So the final state seems to be outside Hilbert space with thermal photons. So it appears that the pure state evolves into a mixed state. It seems like the inequalities were violated. So the principle of complementarity is an attempt to avoid such a conclusion. It says that consistent quantum theory should be defined in a region that a single observer can access. So from the viewpoint of the observer who is outside, black hole is a membrane that is located on the stretch horizon, which is a time-like surface located slightly away from the horizon. I will ask him that it is a one string length away from the horizon in the end of the discussion. And that membrane can also matter in its horizon radiation. And also there's another frame, which is a frame of an observer who falls into a dark hole. And for such an observer, there's nothing unusual in the horizon. He just falls into a dark hole. And the complementarity says that these points are, these viewpoints are complementary. The matter falling into the black hole and the photon radiation. Just different description of the same phenomenon. So basic assumptions of the complementarity is that photon radiations carry information on the states that have fallen into the black hole. And black hole formation and evaporation of black hole is a unitary process. As some speaker already mentioned, ADS-CFT supports complementarity in the sense that formation and evaporation of black hole. Just like ADS space is mapped to a boundary theory that is manifested in the. So I think it is important to explore the consequences of the complementarity, and that is what I used. So as Patrick told you, nice book yesterday. There's a potential problem. So in some sense we are preparing copies of the same quantum state. Because we say that matter inside the horizon of the quantum radiations are the same thing. So doesn't it violate the no cloning theorem? So we say that it is okay if a single observer cannot make a copy of a quantum state. And sustenance of the thoracic and basically consider the following experiment. Let me review that. So, Alice falls into the black hole, and Bob waits outside the black hole and collects photon radiations. And after decoding those radiations, Bob jumps into the black hole, and he gets message from Alice inside the black hole. So if that kind of process is possible, this single observer can make a copy of the quantum state. So we want this to be forbidden. So let me go through this calculation. So for simplicity, I'm going to Schwarzschild black hole. Later, I will take you to easily generalize to string black holes. So Schwarzschild black hole, the metric of a Schwarzschild black hole is this horizon out of three. So I will denote the horizon radius chapter hours. And entropy is proportional to entropy is area over form g is the unit of constant. So it's proportional to r squared. And temperature is constant on the power. So the geometry near the horizon is a Lindner space. And this is a piece of flat Lindner space. So we can define this kind of coordinate and extent. For extent to a part of our region, so come out like this. So this right coordinates are corresponds to U1 of the blue star coordinates. So the exact metric in the blue star coordinates has some component factor in front of this. But in our discussion, it doesn't matter very much. Except that similarity is located at the x plus x minus equals r square. And this Lindner time is related to the Schwarzschild time by factor t. So Lindner time is the time measured in unit of inverse temperature. So I review the argument that Patrick told you yesterday. So let's assume that Bob stays at some radial position. For simplicity, I assume that he stays at one horizon radius away from the horizon. And after time, omega is a Lindner time, it's not a frequency. So after time, omega retention retriever, Bob jumps into the graph. So I will discuss what omega retriever is later. Now I want to find the condition for omega retriever which prevents so after omega retriever he jumps into the black hole. So in terms of the right components of exponential. So then he will hit the horizon so he eventually hits the horizon and x minus at the time he hits the horizon is smaller than this. This line is the this term is x minus equal to 0, and this term is x plus equal to 0. So x minus equal to 0. So
you mean he is a singularity?
Yes, singularity is here, and all states at some linear position, and then jumps into the black hole. So
the horizon is, isn't it at x minus equal to 0?
Yes, horizon is here. And x minus, positive x minus is here. So, if we're posing the speed limit, this will be equal. If Alice wants that her message reaches before he hits the horizon, she wants to send it here. So the x minus time that she has after crossing the horizon is our exponential. It's a minus on the root of t, but this x minus time is equal to her pro pattern. So she has this. So if she can send a message sooner than this proper time after crossing the horizon, she will succeed in delivering her message to the people. So, in this argument, we are neglecting the back reaction to the geometry. So, in order that that assumption is valid, the energy that Alice has should be less than the black hole mass. So, from the uncertainty principle, we can't specify her time shorter than her inverse energy, so we want that this. So we want that these conditions are not compatible. So we want this to be larger than this. So from that condition of view.
Can I just ask a question? So is this different from the condition we heard about yesterday in Patrick's talk?
It's the same.
No, but I think you're actually making a weaker assumption about Alice.
Because you were using the fact that she could not use an energy bigger than Planck energy to send something.
Right.
So L Planck had appeared already, but here it is actually the mass which is, of the whole black hole which is appearing.
Yes.
There's a factor of M over N Planck in between.
Yeah, right. It goes in the logarithm, so it's just this is
yes.
Small.
But log of an extra M over M Planck. Okay, I'll
have to see
that. It will make log n go to just log m squared. That's what you're saying. So it's just 2 log n. That's what's going to happen.
No. It's just a constant shift of log m to where there is. Oh, okay.
Okay. So yeah, it's log m plus log m. So it goes to 2 log m.
So we want this material time to be larger. No problem. So now we want to estimate the retrieval time. So that would be reminded from the topic to yesterday. So the problem is if there's a large pure system and if we have the control over only a finite only a small subsystem, how much information do we have? So basic fact that was known before in the first year was a result obtained from things. So he studied suppose the system consists of subsystems of A and B. And he calculated the array, the typical information of the subsystem A. So there's a wave function. And if we channel stream B, we trace out the degrees of freedom. And when we define, we get a density matrix on A. And we define entanglement entropy. And as a measure of the information, we consider difference of the entropy, difference between maximum entropy and this entanglement. Maximum entropy is the dimension of the Hilbert space. And the result is that the subsystem A almost has no information until its size becomes larger than half the size of the whole system. After that, it becomes bigger half the system. As Patrick said, this halfway, so from this argument, it seems that the retrieval time is given by the halfway point of the evaporation. And as Patrick said, scales like mass change. And for big black hole, this is great enough to predict the problem. This was the result that has been known. But Hayden first year found that there was a matter of information. So what they did is to suppose Bob has been collecting all the Hawking radiations since the black hole has gone. And let's assume that the halfway point has already passed. And then Alice jumps into the black hole. So with this knowledge, how many additional bits should Bob to collect to decode the Alice? So the model that they consider is like this. So E is a Hawking radiation that has been emitted before it jumps into the black hole. And B is a black hole, degrees of freedom for the black hole. And M is a ISIS message. And so the N is a subsystem, an reference system that is maximally entangled with analysis methods. In this model, it is assumed that random unitary transformation is applied this black hole interior and message. And then some bits are emitted as post-imagination. They studied how much information this state, this subsystem has access message. They showed that the system, they showed that let's assume access message consists of qubits or information. So, and they showed that this subsystem E subsystem E and R, E R is almost maximally oriented this preference system. After k bits of Hawking variations, conditional Hawking variations comes out, and they show that the in other words, they show that Alice's message comes out almost immediately. In this argument, it was assumed that the completely random unitary transformation is applied to the black hole interior and the ISS message. So B and M are completely mixed by that transformation. As Patrick said, so this argument so this result suggests that the time scale relevant for the information retrieval is the time scale needed for this assumption to be established. So, in other words, the time scale needed for Alice's message to be weeks or strong with the black hole interior. So now we want to estimate the scanning. So one way of estimating is the following. So we consider a test charge, a charged particle falling into a black hole. And we again consider the near horizon Lindor space. It's convenient to change the coordinates to the Minkowski space, but this coordinate transformation. So the test particle the geodesic of the test particle is just a static particle at rest in the Minkowski space. And so the electric field of this particle can be easily obtained from the one over distance square. component to this green gradient. So here we use the idea of membrane paradigm. So it means that we should represent the black hole by a membrane located stretched by some stretched horizon is at one extreme. And so this means that there's no electric field beyond the stretch quality. So it's a kind of control. So it means that charge is induced on stretch quality. So since we have perpendicular components of that electric charge, so it means that we have surface charge density.
Can you try to understand that a little better? Is that assuming that the stretched horizon is a perfect conductor?
This gas is not.
Pardon? The charged particle is here, so that radiates what we think it radiates. And then here's the membrane. And why should there be a sigma? I mean, you don't need that sigma to produce this E. The E is already produced by the particle, right?
Sure.
If this was a perfect conductor, then it would have a certain
E. It's only, if there's no E parallel, then.
That's what I mean by perfect conductor. I mean, the reason
there's no E parallel.
Because this is all normal, right?
So the rest is just kind of just normal.
Yeah, if you had a conductor, that's exactly what you would get.
Even that Gauss's law would tell you that this is. By the way, the same relationship would also hold simply between the bulk quantities and the boundary quantity that you would do ASC. So essentially, indeed, what the membrane paradigm is doing is replacing the interior with the corresponding ADL dual boundary theory. At least this is one of those.
I'm just sorry to be slow on this, but what is the physics going to be? You have a charged particle here. You want to say there's a surface charge density here. What do you mean by saying it's obvious? I mean, if I had a piece of plastic here, there would be no surface charge density.
If you insist that there's no field inside of it.
Yes. Okay, so then it's like a conductor assumption. That's what a conductor does. No field inside, so you have to guess. Okay.
Yes, so the profile of the surface charge density in the transverse direction is given by this in the upper plate green time. So as time goes on in front, and also from this expression we see the charge spread exponential. So the estimate for the scrambling time will be given by the time needed for the perturbation to spread over horizon. So
the thing that I'm worried about is that this kind of argument that you're using, like a membrane kind of paradigm or ABS kind of thing, has this fluid picture, right? And the kind of estimate that you get has this local equilibrium kind of picture. That's a bit different with what Patrick and Preskill were doing. That's a very strict version of, like, their versions were way strict compared to this. This is.
So we can also estimate the scrambling time by Yeah, but by the yes, by another other. So if we pattern the black hole, so keeping so the perturbation decays into the minus gamma p when the gamma is the lowest constant so the scrambling time will be in the time scale that perturbation becomes of order thermal fluctuation. I think that's what I'm asking.
Yes, and this is more like that simple equilibration.
That's exactly what I mean.
I think, maybe let me just try to rephrase this question if I understand it correctly. I think if you actually want to get the information out in the first k bits or whatever, it's not just that you want the initial perturbation to sort of start looking like a generic excitation, but you also want the data of this perturbation to actually get distributed completely uniformly among all the excitations. And that seems to be a slightly bigger requirement. So in most systems that you've seen that if you make a local perturbation in some time exponentially, you just go and get mixed up with your surroundings. But for the data to go towards all the system, not just to this local surroundings, might be a bigger deal. Do I understand this right?
That's yeah, it's certainly quite possible that this would just be a lower bound
right.
on the time scale that's necessary. But it has the advantage of being a lower bound that's calculated from the physics as opposed to some completely ad hoc model like we used. And so,
it's not that obvious to me that the thermalization time that people talk about in hydrodynamics is what we're calculating in our strict version. It might be lower bounders.
So that's thermalization time you mentioned. Basically,
the
inverse of the lowest
cosmic
inverse.
Yes. Right, that's the hydrodynamics, which will be the speed of sound, or what you call the speed of sound in the corresponding hydrodynamics.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, so this time scale is the time scale that it's the
The bound between this estimate and
our estimate, right?
Yours would be bigger. This is a lower bound on your.
Yeah, exactly.
But for the kind of question that they're trying to address, information loss requires that kind of bound.
Right. So we'll not only need this picture and normal mode, at least quasi normal mode, propagation speed, but. But also need to assume that it's sort of maximally turbulent.
Exactly.
Yeah. So distribute
exactly.
Because you want to pick it out from anywhere you want.
I'm not sure if this is really the time scale that so this the screen from the time needed for the perturbation to spread over the whole horizon is given by this in the so it was like log R. So alternatively, it goes like log entropy. So this is very fast. In usual diffusion. Diffusion is a random walk process. So another perturbation. The random walk distance that the perturbation reaches goes the square root of the time steps. So in that case, the time scale that is needed for the whole system to be somehow will go like n to 2 over d, but d is a dimension of the spatial dimension. Scrambling time for the black hole is very short. For example, for solar mass black hole, if something came to the mass for the so horizon size is about 1 kilometer. So if we compare that time scale with the time scale for orbital. So let me state again our conjecture. So we claim that the fastest scrambler in nature will take time of order log n. Time log n in unit of inverse temperature to scramble information over the whole system. Yes. Yes, it does influence the finite crust data. And black holes such as the matrix quantum mechanics that are the observed black holes such as the body. So now let me go to the black hole with diesel grain charge. So it is a 9+1 dimensional black hole. But it's just under the random moment. So it's similar to Reitzner nodes from black hole in the sense that classically they're very outer in operations. But we believe that the two polar string structure is similar to that of Schwarzschild black hole. In Reitzner nodes from black hole, it is believed that there's an instability in the collapse because there's infinite evolution around here. So it is unstable against infinitesimal perturbations. So similarly, will develop some special slides So we believe that the same thing happens here.
So just want to add a small comment. Don Morolf was telling me recently that there have been additional singularity at the actual horizon. So he wasn't completely sure of that. He said, singularity is unstable is known. Yeah. But you're saying the two horizons are also unstable in some sense if you try to send even a test particle across it. It of course goes smoothly through in the Schwarzschild diagram on the diagram on the right. But on the left, as it goes through, there'll be a singularity in with even m going to zero, some singularity will develop. It doesn't go smoothly through that.
Because that's what. Isn't that what?
So it's
exactly the same state.
Can you explain the process again? I think Marwar was telling me that with some recent work he's doing, the horizon is also unstable.
The outer horizon.
Oh, the outer horizon. Yeah. Do you know more about this story? But he wasn't completely sure, but he was supposed to tell me the details at some time. But I'm just mentioning, if that is true, this may not come here. That's
right. So, meaning that same left and the right sort of come arbitrarily close to me.
Now, you were saying the outer inner horizon, they try to separate them from being the right close to right. This is extremal, right? So, mm-hmm. So the two are coinciding, you try to separate them towards a little bit away. There's some similarity there. So, the test particle falls the threat of separation of the smooth stone.
Oh, so he's saying if I start with an extremal and then try and add some energy, right?
That's a test particle. Okay. It's not like it goes smoothly through without noticing anything as if it was happening in the right diagram.
Okay. But you're not considering an extremal case, right?
No. Before the perturbation, the D0 went black. Oh, it was an excited D0. It was not cold D0.
Yeah, it's a near non-extremal.
Okay.
Is this difference going to be important in your story later on?
Well, yeah. Okay. So if it opposes a substance like this, the thought experiment of Einstein Bohr.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we believe that the non-cloning is valid also in this case. So let me show you the magic. So I will consider the decoupling unit, and it is a particular kind of near horizon, near extreme. So this is exactly what Nishimura talked about yesterday. So U is a radial coordinate, and horizon is actually U coordinate. Ramon charge the number of the digital domains is small energy, by energy, I mean mass over entropy and temperature. The atom particular is decoupling is given by this. In the asymptotic case, it's unstable. Time scale for the proportion. And so we want to estimate the scrambling time as we did just before this. So that kind of classical gravity analysis will be valid when the steam coupling and the curvature are small at the horizon. So that condition is this. It is satisfied when for the black hole with fixed temperature, large temperature. And in the language of gauge theory, it is satisfied in the fix this same end. So the local geometry near the horizon is in that space. So we can use the formula. In the previous discussion. So the spring scrambling time will be just local for the linear size of the horizon. So it goes like this. So it scales like lower end from lower back in spots. So so the matrix quantum mechanics that is theory to this black hole shape. Before talking about matrix theory, let me emphasize this type of log and behavior is very general. This type of log schemes of it. So as an example, let me consider the ADS platform. So first, let me remind you of a fact in ADS safety. So in ADS safety, a cell of size of ADS size of ADS radius in the bulk corresponds to a cut-off cell in the boundary cell. So, for simplicity, let me show you the boundary coordinate, magic in the boundary coordinate. So these are the radial direction and the x, then the direction around the boundary. So we need UV cutoff in the boundary cell and the IR cutoff in the box. So UV cutoff in X corresponds to IR cutoff in Z. So in other words, if we want to have a resolution of this size of this scale, we have to set boundaries here. If we want the resolution to be on this, the cutoff can be more far from the boundary. So the physical area of each cutoff cell is I'm considering focus on dimension of the areas. So the area of each cutoff cell is just our radius to the force, as you see from this image. On one cutoff cell, there's matrix degrees of freedom. So the distance inside this cutoff cell would be described non-trivially by matrix degrees of freedom. So the entropy bound says that maximal entropy is the area in Planck scale. It is the end of square. It is consistent that the matrix of size of n squared on each area square. So this is what is known in ADS safety. If we consider ADS black hole that is large and stable, and if we repeat the same analysis about the scan time, we find that but time scale needed for perturbation is spread over the size radius radius is again log of our radius. So choice have broken in. So we expect that in this kind of general theory with range of degrees of freedom, the time scale that the average of the state over matrix degrees of freedom will go up.
Question? So you're working with in the Poincare coordinates.
Yes.
I think that's why you need a cutoff cell boundary thing. So if you work in global coordinates, so this cutoff, is it automatically given?
I use Poincare coordinates just for simplicity. It's easy to see the scale. Our discussions exactly the same.
I guess the question, I don't know if I understand the question right. In global coordinates, you could use the ADS scale. ADS just some curvature scale in the whole global ADS. Right? So you could use that as a way to cut off cells in pieces of size, ADS cross ADS cross ADS. Is that what you're saying?
I think if you work in global coordinates, maybe it's the same thing, but so the effective cutting the boundary into cells, it's automatically given.
The size of a cell, suppose you are far, the size of a cell will just be set by ADS.
Yes, I think, yeah.
So the matrix theory that is derived from the diesel wind black hole is so it is a zero plus one dimensional super it's the bosonic part of the dimension is schematic. It's so it's excess N by N matrix. And A runs through one line. So, the perturbation that I just talked about, we want to know what is that operator that corresponds to the perturbation that I just talked about. So the perturbation was localized on the horizon. So it has some angular momentum. So we assume that the scale of the localization is independent of the horizon radius. The angular momentum scales the horizon radius. So we expect that this operator is a product of at least this number of this matrix. And there's a gauge thing. UN gauge symmetry is the operator should be gauging the choice. And so the basic picture of spectrum that we have in mind that if we discretize the time at each time step, well, this is similar to the model that Patty mentioned at the end of the talk. So at each time step, the number of, suppose one matrix element is perturbed. Then at each time step, the number of term might make you scale it, but it's connected to, that is connected to just M by interaction, grows by a factor of four. I say four because of this, because this is a problem of interaction. And in matrix theory, all the matrix elements are in some sense next to each other. Any element can couple to any other element. So I don't know how many times that in an element should be touched in order to experiment. But it could be, but it may be, so that number may be independent of total, independent of the number of total degrees. So if that is true, it seems more or less natural that this type of scrambles in time log n.
Sorry. So I want to ask a question to whoever can answer it. So. So earlier, when we were talking about the membranes, so there is an analogy with hydrodynamics, and when we have a perturbation, I think there are two scales. So first, this perturbation just dissipates, and then you are talking about the time scale for maximal turbulence, right? And, so in the case of matrix theory, so I want to think of this perturbation as an inserting operator, just like in the case of the two-point correlation function. And so if I perturb the system, so then again, are we supposed to have two time scales, like one exponential decay, but then at some point the second time scale sets in and it decays more gradually? At a longer time scale, that's the, am I supposed to expect that? Yeah, so I think this kind of question can also be asked in more information theoretical models.
I think what you're likely to see is that there would be a family of time scales depending on how detailed the question you ask about the state of the system. Like essentially how many degrees of freedom you're asked, like if you ask, okay, if I look at some subset of degrees of freedom, do those degrees of freedom look thermal? And if you only look at a pair, for example, that should happen much faster than if you look at 100. And if you look at 1,000, it should be slower than if you looked at 100. And then there's some scaling with the size of the subsystem that you look at. And I think that's where... Well, the question is what that scaling looks like. And it's hard to get a handle on because you actually need to do a detailed, many-body, strongly interacting calculation for a very large number of degrees of freedom to really be certain.
And the relevant time scale for local complementarity involves a really large, so a significant fraction of the whole system?
At least to make the argument about information release, you essentially need to look at all the degrees of freedom.
All the degrees, yeah. So it cannot be just 1 degree of freedom can...
No.
90%, at least 300%.
So, for example, if you have n squared degrees of freedom, if I look at just n of n, so the fraction is 1 over n, would it be, this will not be enough to...
It wouldn't be enough to say it conclusively, but I think
it could be the lower bound.
It would be a lower bound, and if you could actually see what the scaling with n looked like,
yeah.
I think that's very informative.
Mm-hmm. But not sufficient, you might say.
Not obviously sufficient.
Mm-hmm. But, but you don't actually need that, right? You don't need a fast scrambler, log n scrambler to save complementarity. I mean, you could have complementarity and yet have the information come out much later than the
oh, sure.
Log n.
Yeah.
So it's, okay, fine. Even if it takes longer, it's not a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, but okay.
This is my point. Sorry. So, yeah. So, yeah, so I should say that we don't really know the precise definition of the scrum. So, but one way to see if the system is scrambling or not might be the problem. So let's assume that black hole is a subordinate state. And then let's apply a calculation that I talked about at time zero. And let the system evolve. So after some time, if system is scrambled, so we expect that something like this happens. Namely, for some set of operators, so if we make product with some set of operators and we take the other somewhere others, then this expression with this perturbation will be almost the same with just a sum of others to some objects. For the moment, we are not sure what kind of operators we should take, but this will be operators involve small number of matrix elements. So we say so because we have in mind the pages result that if the system is scrambled or if it's a system is typical, as long as you are looking at small subsystem, it is almost indistinguishable from the state. So we expect that it can be studied by this type of behavior.
More questions?
So for a complementary principle in say, quantum mechanics, they're always kinematic, meaning that no matter what Hamiltonian, there's no way we can find a Hamiltonian which would allow us to violate position momentum, mm-hmm. uncertainty, or anything. Here, this seems to be, I guess, what Patrick and John's result says is that this can't be a deep kinematic complementarity like that, because you could presumably find Hamiltonians which would violate the complementarity. In other words, it's contingent on the interaction being only not being many body. I mean, that seems a bit disturbing. I mean, it seems almost that it's. It seems either to suggest that the black hole complementarity, maybe I'm taking the analogy a bit too strongly with quantum mechanics, but it does seem to suggest that it's not
a kinematic kind of a complementary like kind we used like all the other ones we make.
So what do you mean by kinematic?
Meaning it doesn't depend on the, I mean, the, you know, if I were to find a Hamiltonian and a measuring system which would let me measure X and P, then that can never happen. I mean, the complementarity of in quantum mechanics is built into the structure. It's not a dynamical. It doesn't depend on what Hamiltonian I have for my system. It's much deeper than that. Whereas here, it does seem to depend on the dynamics and interaction. Because I could find a scrambling. There does exist Hamiltonian if you scramble fast enough that you find it.
As long as we make 4-bit interaction that connects everything as we go down, our conjecture is that if we require that the complementarity is okay. So in that sense, this seems okay. I don't know a physical principle. I think I agree that I'm putting my kind of that there's no interaction that connects everything that we want. But I want to emphasize that other than that, so if we admit that it seems that pretty much in our conjecture is that if we assume that any quantum system is consistent with the
by complementarity in black hole mechanics, you mean that a cube vector can be represented by eigenset of X or either eigenset of P?
You mean quantum mechanics?
In quantum mechanics.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying if it must be of a different kind. I mean, it's obviously a different kind, but
The rules are slightly different, although the end result might be a similar type of complementarity. But the two questions that one is adding to it is one, that you actually look at the number of operations you need to do in order to go from the initial set of variables to the complementary set of variables. You allow yourself certain dynamics to make that match. And secondly, is that the it's not just a map from the informing. In the meantime, there's a quantum system, but that's what we're looking at, which are the degrees of freedom on the horizon. So, and then the dynamics that I'm talking about is the dynamic of the horizon.
Right, but I guess I mean it's contingent on particular dynamics, whereas ordinary complementarity is not contingent.
No, complementarity is the end. Yeah, it's the end result of if I would take the lifetime limit of this, in the end. Having a map from an initial state to a finite state, where everyone allows to do an arbitrary complicated map instantaneously, then you could get the thing out immediately. But the additional assumption is that there's a certain rule for how quickly one can do certain operations.
Right. I think I'm just saying that. It's funny that you need to make an assumption about the dynamics in order to keep your complementarity. Whereas in all the other ones we know, we don't need to make any assumption about the dynamics. In fact, if someone came up with the dynamics, we violated it, we would.
Just give you a brief example of your XP complementarity. If I take an harmonic oscillator, then you look at the phase space, then after a quarter of an oscillation, about a half an oscillation, X goes to P. So I could use the harmonic oscillator as a way of
dynamically doing transformation of x.
No, but that, I mean that's not really my complementarity. Sure, I can have an eigenstate of x which goes to like the eigenstate of p, but that's not driven by complementarity.
No, but what I'm saying is the question here goes beyond just talking about complementarity. It's talking about the mechanism, what is part of the underlying dynamic. So I think it's the difference between it was more detailed.
Is complementarity just sort of the wrong word? I mean,
no, complementarity is appropriate in the sense that it's the same as x and p. In the sense that the observables that one would associate with something that goes into the horizon, one imagines can all be decomposed into observables that would measure the radiation. In that respect, it's like X.
Why not say duality?
Right.
Okay, I'm not sure X and P are thought of as complementary. But that's just the terminology. But it's a good analogy.
What is good analogy? So analogy with complementarity?
No, the fact that the observables that are associated with something that's inside the horizon eventually can all be decomposed into another basis.
But it's the same
that all the bases must be complete. So the fact that Fourier transformation doesn't lose any information is a good analogy.
But it's the same for duality. Yeah, for it is, it's
we don't call it complementary. We don't act like there's some non-commuting variables.
What is duality?
Yeah, okay, maybe you could call it duality, yeah. Probably.
But in your, I'm just thinking, I mean, the key in or where this discussion starts is with sort of no cloning, and that's something you would have thought is robust. So somehow, I'm not sure what it is that isn't robust here. Here it seems that we're looking at physical models and asking how the no cloning is realized, and you're asking about the dynamics, but sort of the basis of the whole argument, I think, is something that you would have thought is robust, wouldn't you?
Well, except that there are scramblers which can scramble sufficiently fast that the information would pop out and you would clone. So the no cloning is contingent on the fact that you have slow scramblers. R log R, whether you want to call it, I mean, they're calling it fast scramblers, but they're certainly faster scramblers. I take a big unitary that will scramble it faster and will violate the no cloning.
The question would be how unphysical that model is. Right?
No, but in ordinary quantum mechanics, if I came up with a Hamiltonian and interaction that would allow me to violate, to measure x and p at the same time, people would be shocked. That's impossible. There's no interaction which would allow me to violate quantum mechanics.
There are some things about the bulk theory that has to be encoded in the quantum mechanics here, like causality, right? If one side of the horizon could instantaneously interact with the other side, you know, faster than the light crossing time, that could probably scramble a lot faster. I don't know, but I mean, even these Alice and Bob thought experiments, you could probably...
Like, we don't know how unphysical those models that scramble faster than body can are. Right. It might turn out to be extremely physical, like as a Hamiltonian.
Yeah. I guess I'm saying is maybe this is for kind of lunch discussion, but ordinary, whether an interaction is physical or not is not a question you would ask for ordinary complementarity. If I could find an interaction which would violate, you cannot find, there's no Hamiltonian physical or unphysical that could violate, that could allow me to measure x and p. It's built into the kinematics of it's built into the structure of the Hilbert space. Whereas here, it seems you have to posit a form of interaction in addition to any structure. Now, maybe that's just because of our naivety, and we don't really know what's going on, but at least with the models that are there, you need to put some restriction on the dynamics.
Right, but the thing is, the dynamical model that you propose has to have some interpretation as a space-time,
yes.
As a theory of space-time,
yes.
Right? And you don't have the complementarity until you have this interpretations of theory of space-time. So if you propose some crazy Hamiltonian that makes this really quickly, it may just not mean anything. So it's not that you would have violated complementarity, you just wouldn't have any interpretation. I think the distinction you're making is interesting, but I think ultimately it can get built into what you are calling kinematics in some sense.
So the data point is needed also from the point of view again, of all these matrix models or ADS-CFT. On the one end, if one can start to verify that they may have some, at least they already give sort of a complementary, and the black hole complementary point of view of something. But then the thing to show is that there's actually space-time associated with it that locally in the horizon or even inside of the horizon might look like a black hole space-time. So the space-time aspect of this is sort of essential in the notion of black hole complementary, not only complementary, space-time complementary.
For the Logan behavior, it could be that you may not need the space-time interpretation of the matrix model, right? It could be that the Logan behavior of the conversation time, this may be a generic feature of
any large N class.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you can certainly study it independent of the interpretation. And you can prove for some kinds of models that they can't mix any faster than log N. Using some variation on this argument that if you have if the interaction is just two body or four body, then in a given time step, you only spread your information. There's only some multiplier effect with respect to spreading your information around. Does anyone know about any other processes, like say, other than say this charge spreading, like other kinds of dissipative processes that it might make sense to analyze to try to extract other time scales?
You already mentioned the quasi normal modes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a thermal relaxation for any thermal system, and that's universally defined.
That also has the same scale as for the holographic systems.
Probably. Yes. I mean, for correct me if I'm wrong, for general thermal systems and for black holes and ADS-CFT, is the thermal relaxation time of big H theory always the first quasi normal frequency? Is
that
an idea?
That was my question to you. So.
There are modes that have arbitrarily rapid.
Significance that is.
Sorry.
I mean, among the quasi-normal modes, there are ones with an arbitrarily rapid damping time.
The first, the lowest quasi.
The lowest one. That's presumably the one you're interested in, but I'm not sure.
I think you have to worry.
And then, there's a whole ladder of these modes. Damping time drives linearly for very high quantum numbers. And the damping rate drives linearly.
But I mean, at long times, the thermal correlators should always be dominated by a single exponential. And in the gauge theory, that's, I think, the definition of the thermal relay.
I'm not proposing I'm just throwing it out.
Patrick was talking about a family of timescales. That spectrum is a natural family that arises.
Spectrum of shorter and shorter.
Yeah, but it may be a call with smaller and smaller subsystems.
And presumably for general thermal systems, you can do the same decomposition. If you take a thermal correlator and subtract off the leading exponential at long times, and then you get some presumably subleading exponential, and you can keep doing it. So
that's called the only exponential.
Okay, so maybe let's come back in 10 minutes and let's get some feedback.